Back in telehealth, I'm Erica Grau.
And I'm Kathy Ford.
Telehealth is having a dramatic impact on the way patient care is being delivered. On our show, we'll examine how telehealth can simplify communication, improve office workflow, and most importantly, drive better patient care. In addition to hearing some great clinical stories about telehealth in practice, we'll talk about where telehealth is today and where it's going, including how the latest regulations are impacting provider operations and reimbursement. You can find podcasts of previous episodes of Talk and Telehealth on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com and rhinogram.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at #TalkandTelehealth and follow us at Rhinogram on Twitter. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us again. Last month, we discussed COVID-19's impact, and this is obviously a more than one episode topic. Since last month, we've seen things slow down, but to date, we're looking at 90,000 deaths in the U.S. today. We are currently in a much different place since the last time we spoke. We're now looking at our economy reopening, along with businesses and healthcare offices opening their doors. Appointments are beginning to be scheduled again, and even elective procedures are making their way back. However, the workflow can never go back to the way it was before. Kathy, do you want to update us on what Rhinogram clients have shared with you?
Yes. Thanks, Erica. I want to first start by, again, thanking all of our frontline workers and care teams, service professionals, everyone who has put everybody else before themselves. We're incredibly grateful, and we couldn't have gotten through this without them. So many thanks to all of you. And speaking of those frontliners and those many healthcare professionals, I continue to catch up with many of the Rhinogram clients as we're all going through this very unusual period. And it's been enlightening for sure. It's also been a proud moment for Rhinogram because the overwhelming feedback has been, I mean, first off, incredibly positive. But they're saying things like they couldn't have survived without Rhinogram. They wouldn't have known how to manage all of the higher volumes of patients, the different needs now presenting themselves, the new focus around protecting their staff. One of our clients had said, Rhinogram has been a force multiplier in providing quality and timely care for our patients in our pediatric office. With Rhinogram, it allows us to connect with our patients in a way that they are comfortable with. I love that quote. It just says it all. Force multiplier. That's what all of our practices, many of which at least, have had to figure out how to adjust to. Another client, I love reading these things, told us that Rhinogram has really been a godsend during this time to help communicate with patients. I always appreciate the time that I get to spend in catching up with our Rhinogram clients and hearing how all of the different specialties, everything from the pediatric facilities to the OBGYN practices to chronic care management practices, and then of course our oral healthcare providers, that all of which have had to close their practice.
You'll even hear from one of our clients at the end of this episode who's continued to serve his patients in the greater Seattle area. So Kathy, let's talk more about how the workflows in healthcare offices has forever changed.
No doubt forever changed. And luckily we have technology to support the needs. And, you know, as I continue to engage with our providers in the healthcare market and our own clients and clients with needs, I really find that there are three main themes or focuses that are coming out of these conversations as far as change that is upon us now. The first is really a complete shift in workflow. No longer is it the standard approach to make an appointment and physically walk into an office. And why has this changed? Well, first off, we need to limit exposure as much as possible, which means following the recommendations still of the CDC, who says and continues to say to stay at home as much as possible. and, you know, for all things, but especially for healthcare. And as a practice, what that means is they need to engage with their patients differently. With COVID or without COVID, the first encounter can and frankly should be virtual. I mean, why has it taken this crisis to get to this point? I don't know, probably another episode to talk about that, but it is where we're at. And the bottom line is that we need to triage and engage with our patients virtually in a convenient way in order to decide what makes sense next. And all of this is happening in a virtual way. It's going to change the way practitioners and their staff in their office operate, and they are, many of which are already understanding that they have to upgrade to a more modern approach to communicating with these patients to stay engaged. You cannot rely on the existing IT tools and infrastructure that has been in place in order to support an in-office workflow, that a 100% in-office workflow. So as we talked about before, leveraging the technology that allows patients to use communication mediums that they would rather use. So it just can't be said enough. Texting is how we communicate with everybody. And if this is the easiest way to communicate and what we all know with our eyes closed, frankly, in our sleep, then isn't it logical to believe that, of course, that's going to give us a better level of engagement and likely probably a quicker response and communication loop? Because again, we're sort of all trained to hearing that notification on our phones when we get a message, and you know that can go the same way as it relates to care and when you have questions. And as long as you're not in a high acute situation or an urgent situation, it simply is the best way to start that conversation to determine your next steps. Let's think about also the new reality as it relates to old technology. So a phone system, phone calls, only allow a person to have one conversation with one patient at a time. So now that we are seeing practices reopen and you have a backlog of appointments that need to be rescheduled, you have a flurry of questions that have been put on hold, how is your office staff going to be able to support that kind of volume and still be able to deliver that level of care that patients want, that the staff wants to provide? You have to move past the phone. And the bottom line is you have to move onto a modern communication platform. And there's another thing that we're not hearing a lot of people talk about, but it is a new reality as well. Think about, if you don't start triaging and engaging with your patients virtually first, and if you're still thinking you're going to go back to the way it was, what you are having to contend with and implement in your practice is a completely new PPE set of requirements. So a full, not only face masks, but shields, full body gear, and more depending on what your specialty is and so on and so forth. The reality is that there is an additional expense that is now going to be a part of your expense structure for your practice. So it's not to say that you're not going to see patients in your office, but why not make sure that new expense is being used, you know, when it is necessary and not simply because you don't have any other way to engage with those patients remotely or virtually. I think there'll be more conversations about this as practices are opening up. And again, do we have enough PPE available for all practices everywhere? And then also, how are the people thinking about covering those new additional expenses? Are reimbursement models going to be adjusted to support that? I haven't heard anything about that yet, so we shall see. But it's something that we need to think about it as it relates to shifting the workflow. Now, as we talked about, patients, sure, definitely patients need to come in for certain things. So what's the virtual waiting room as we all are hearing? So how do you make that as efficient as possible? If your virtual waiting room is your parking lot, which is how most practices are approaching this, how do you let your patients know that that is the new protocol? How do they know when they're up next? How will you tell them what measures your practice has taken in order to sanitize and maintain a clean, safe setting for them to when it is their time to come in? And what can they expect? Again, if you are going to rely on a process of phoning each one of your patients and then them phoning you when they're in your parking lot, in their cars, and relying on your staff to be able to answer all those calls one at a time, you will struggle. We know you will. So think in terms of your new virtual waiting room, which again, a lot of times will be the parking lot. You need to be able to stay in connection with those patients though. Let them know when people still run behind. This reality will still continue. Things come up. Not everything is predictable. But what a great service to be able to text your patients while they are sitting in their cars, listening to some great music, hopefully, or to this podcast, and to be able to be kept up to date with really minimal interference or interruption. And again, how easy would it be for your staff? They could even pull up a template if they've got the right platform that allows them to send essentially the same message to maybe all of their patients that are sitting out in their virtual waiting room or their parking lot. So we need to be thinking about, again, leveraging technologies to help accommodate both the patient and the staff, the team, the care team, to get used to this, you know, distance, keeping everybody safe, making sure patients are informed. I mean, frankly, you can also do other things virtually as well. If we're talking about that touchless setting or touchless encounters, what we want to make sure we're doing is anything that can be done digitally. So filling out forms, making payments, make sure your communication platform has all of that capability, because this again is not only a time saver for the practice to not have to slow everything down to take care of that, but it's a great way to get the patient to fill it out on their own device, in their own setting, in a safe environment, clean environment, get all that over to you. They can take a picture of their new insurance card and shoot it over and front and back, their driver's license, all of those things. Your billing department can get that processed and loaded into your EHR. And then all that patient has to do is walk through the doors and then be seen. And that's really what is the future of workflow in healthcare today. I think that there's another piece that is on everybody's mind. And what about these patients that have been delaying their care? Patients, frankly, are scared that they're going to contract the virus stepping into a healthcare office. We hear a lot about it. I continue to read more and more studies about how many patients with chronic conditions have escalated and ended up in the emergency department because they simply did not keep up with their care plan. They needed a prescription change. They were too scared to call, or they tried to call their doctor's office, couldn't get a call back, couldn't get through, but didn't want to come in. And it escalated. I think that we are going to see the downstream effect of this reality in the coming months and maybe also next year, as far as the progression of certain patients and their issues, because of the lack of convenience to stay connected with your doctor who's treating you and who knows you best and knows your condition best in order to help you stay healthy.
So do we think that this is the end of the waiting room as we know it? Given that CMS has issued a second round of groundbreaking changes for telehealth, Kathy, what do you think happens next?
These are interesting times. Can't say it enough. Seeing CMS make these drastic changes to reimbursement rules, we're also seeing payers follow suit. There's still quite a bit more that needs to happen here, but almost daily, everyone from the President of the United States on down seem to be talking about telehealth on a regular basis. So the more that we can bring this, the value of telehealth to light, the better. I think that there are some critics still today of telemedicine that think that doctors cannot adequately meet their patients' healthcare needs without being in the same room. What the COVID crisis has proven is that it's not the distance that is the problem. It is, as long as you have technology in place, you can actually likely improve the relationship between the patient and the doctor. I do think that this is part of the future of what telemedicine will bring, is a stronger physician-patient relationship. I think that we should celebrate the breaking news that came out here a few days ago about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee, located right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, their headquarters. They announced that they will permanently be reimbursing for telehealth visits. This is not a temporary approach for this payer. They will not go back to the old ways post COVID-19, which we're not even sure when the post of COVID-19 is. And this is really a pioneering approach and simply what's needed across all of our payers. So looking forward to seeing others follow suit with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee.
I love your points, Kathy, on how COVID-19 really sped up the education of telehealth. So why don't we talk a little bit more about these changes?
You know what I am really excited about as far as what is coming is first phase for our healthcare sector here has been the reality and way faster adoption around telehealth and understanding that we need to leverage modern communication tools in order to provide better levels of service in the times that we live in today, which means a lot of care can occur virtually. And when we talk about virtual care, I'm now thinking about more specific benefits that this sort of modern communication platform approach can bring, such as being able to view updated patient data like blood pressure and heart rate through, easy interfaces that don't require a patient to download something, that your communication platform has the capability to put alarms in place to help you stay up to date with maybe changes, significant changes that are happening, maybe a temperature spike, maybe a blood pressure drop. The future here doesn't require a patient to be tethered to their Alexa or have to log into their EHR. There is technology, and I'm very excited that Rhinogram will be pioneering this as well, but there is technology that will become also standards of care that will be easy for patients to stay connected even in a passive way. So what's next is, first off, everybody needs to use this period of time while we are flattening the curve as we're approaching summer to get prepared, which means make sure you have a robust communication platform that is going to service the entire patient workflow need in the virtual world. So everything from engagement to appointments, appointment changes, other administrative topics to clinical care, triaging, monitoring, diagnosing, and then visits. Virtually, video, texting, Facebook Messenger, whatever's most convenient and whatever is going to be the right tool at the right time.
Kathy and I were reminiscing on previous episodes, and kind of what we were discussing in January was a similar topic about triaging sick patients due to the flu. So, Kathy, what is the future of our industry?
Well, it is sort of ironic that I was recalling earlier this year in January about my own diagnosis of the flu the year before and how incredibly inconvenient it was for me to get a hold of my own doctor. I knew I needed Tamiflu. I knew it was time sensitive and unfortunately missed the time window because we were relying on a phone in order to have that conversation. So I think there's no question that we are looking at a really tough flu season this fall and winter. Haven't read or heard anything other than that as a reality. It looks like COVID, until we have a vaccination that can be widely distributed and is effective, will be a significant concern, and we will continue to see more cases. People are certainly recovering from COVID, which is very important. But there are also patients, though, still who have other underlying issues and are at still a great risk with COVID. Therefore, they really do need to stay home as much as possible. The reality is that we just have to move on from the old technologies like the phone. It's just not going to sustain us with this second round of viruses that we're looking at here through the summer, and then certainly as it really ramps back up again in the fall. Telehealth is the answer. It is the standard of care. And there are lots of different platforms out there. There are lots of services out there. The key here is to be thinking about your entire patient need spectrum, which again, as I said before, can't say it enough. It's everything from administrative all the way through to clinical. And thinking that a pure video solution, especially there are some out there that are free, and then there are some that are not even designed for healthcare, is not going to be convenient.
So that kind of brings up my next point is, let's talk about the temporary lax in HIPAA. What do you think is going to happen with that?
Well, we are an advanced nation, so I just can't believe that even in today's world, with all of the many, many advanced technologies that are created and innovated here in the U.S., that we have practices using off-the-shelf, non-healthcare company conference, online conferencing tools, not to name any names, some of which have some real security holes because, again, they're designed for online meetings and PowerPoint presentations for sales pitches and things like that, and not designed to have a fully encrypted and secure. For those that were in crisis mode, it's certainly understandable. However, there's really no reason for it. So HIPAA is in place for a great reason. The protections have not changed. And you know, the other reality is, why would you deviate from your standard of care and your protection approach? The key is to upgrade your technology. It's a compromise that is too risky. We've seen so many cases of ransomware that have crippled practices and healthcare institutions, not only from a vulnerability standpoint directly to their patients, but from a ransomware expense perspective, especially for, you know, privately owned practices. I've seen these ransomware requests and payments nearly close the practice just because they're so high. Don't compromise. Make sure that your communication platform is fully compliant, encrypted, non-editable, non-changeable. Make sure that you have access to it. Again, a lot of these free tools, you have no records of that conversation that you can fall back on. What if somebody misunderstood something that you prescribed or that you're recommending them to do, a plan of care? But if you have no record of that conversation, then you're facing some significant challenges.
We wanted to leave you with a story of one of our clients. Dr. James Thomas offers a unique and vital service treating infants with tongue tie. He practices in the suburb of Seattle, putting his office at the heart of one of the highest concentrations of COVID-19 reported cases. He has faced unique challenges during this time, and it is a great example of how leveraging a modern telehealth platform has enabled him to continue to deliver high-quality care.
Healthcare providers are faced with shifting day-to-day challenges. In light of COVID-19, our practices are dealing with a whole new normal. I want to share with you today how my practice is adapting to treat patients virtually during this pandemic. We are faced with mandatory closures all across specialties. Our children are home, schools and businesses are closed. If we have a high rate of cancellations and no-shows, how do we manage that? How do we turn it off? And more importantly, how do we turn it back on when we come out of this pandemic? How do we manage extreme patient volumes in all of our medical practices everywhere? As a founder of HealthLatch, I work with babies and their moms who are struggling with breastfeeding issues because of oral tethers like lip, tongue, and buccal ties. How do I reach my young, tired families? It's a difficult time right now, as we all know. Communication is key internally with our teams and externally with our patients. A key limiting factor as I started the practice was the overdependence on the phone. We have our teams calling high volumes of people who are in a generation that really no longer use their phone. I didn't really realize at first that it was really inconvenient for them. It was really inefficient for me, and sometimes inconsiderate and ineffective to get my mission and my vision and my brand across to all the clients that I wanted to serve. That was an epiphany moment for me. No one really wants to use their phone anymore to call or to leave a voicemail. They just simply text. With Rhinogram, I don't use the phone at all in my office anymore. Our voicemail simply says, "We communicate by text message." And our website pushes the same message. Good leaders have a consistent system that they follow to voice how their brand is going to make a difference to the world. We do it by text. As COVID-19 hit across the country, practices are screening patients face-to-face. A team member is in contact with a patient, taking their temperature and asking their questions. Well, this poses a risk to that team member. The Rhinogram we use can screen patients virtually and text them with pre-screening questions. My patients get a text about 15 minutes before they arrive, asking them to stay in their cars until they're ready. They text us and tell us that they're here, and we text them when we're all done with the last patient and ask them to come upstairs. When they're escorted out, we wipe everything down and we have the next family come in. This has given a reassurance to the families that we are taking this pandemic seriously. If I were to give you any advice, this is not a time to duck. It's a time to positively shift your habits as a professional, to leverage technology, to safely screen people before they come in and ask them to wait in their cars if necessary. Families really understand that. I love the text we receive after saying, "Thank you so much for all you're doing to stay open for our babies." So it's a really big win for me, and I know it will continue to be in the future.
Well, Erica, I can't believe our time is up, but there's certainly more COVID to talk about. I mean, I think about how things are changing literally on a daily basis. We're going to continue to see more things change and evolve and hopefully improve. And I just want to say I'm grateful that you're healthy. Continue to stay healthy.
I'm grateful that you're healthy.
Thank you. And I do want to wish everyone else out there, continue to stay safe, wash your hands, and stay healthy. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us on Talk and Telehealth, recorded at Rhinogram headquarters in beautiful Chattanooga, Tennessee. You can learn more about Talk and Telehealth on the show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com or rhinogram.com. Find us on iTunes under Healthcare Now Radio, or tune in Monday through Friday and listen through your smart speaker by asking, "Play Healthcare Now Radio." And be sure to connect with Rhinogram on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, if it's in the world of telehealth, we're talking about it.